Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Colombo and Katie Fitzpatrick here.
Thanks for listening to the Randy Tobler Show here on News Talk STL. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 2 p.m. for Colombo and Katie.
Also, keep it here for my Saturday morning show, the Bluff City Outdoors Show, today at 11. Now back to Dr. Randy Tobler. Love you, Doc.
They lost a hero, really. I mean, it's just a hero. They're devastated. The family is devastated. The police force is devastated. The whole country feels this way. And it's happening more and more. And it's really a lack of respect for law and order. And we have to have law and order back in our country.
Well, that was former President Donald Trump, of course, in the contrasting presidents palling around for money versus presidents consoling family episode that we saw unfold the other day. And to help us unpack that and other issues going on, we always enjoy talking with our good friend Tim Jones from the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here on News Talk STL every afternoon at Speaker Tim Jones on X, formerly Twitter. Hey, Tim, thanks for checking in with us today before what I understand will be a Mar-a-Lago and El Dorado Country Club a worthy golf match this morning. Is that where you're headed?
We can only hope so, Randy. We can hope so that today is a lucrative day for me and my pocketbook. So playing with all of my buddies. I want to give a shout out, Randy, to my crew. Randy, a lot of them listen to you. They tell me on the way to the course every morning. So I want to give a shout out to the crew from the Legends who I will be playing with this morning. And Randy, thanks for having me on in the middle of, as you were referencing earlier, these high holy days for those of us in the Christian faith. Randy, you know, us Catholics, we spend a lot of time in church over these 3 days, and we had some beautiful ceremonies and masses up at Sacred Heart in Eureka. I want to give a shout out to Father Joe and Father Leo, who always put on such a beautiful remembrance of the passion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Randy, for those who believe, these are wonderful, glorious days. We are steadfast in our belief that, you know, that we will rise again along with him. And but Randy, for those who don't believe or who are in pain right now, who are suffering in whatever way, who are having challenges, perhaps Randy, they could maybe think about the fact that the possibility that over 2,000 years ago, a stonecutter, son of a carpenter from Nazareth, was not found in the tomb. He was not found in the tomb. And that was probably even more terrifying than if he had still been there. And that possibility, Randy, survives over 2,000 years later. The most famous human being to ever walk the planet. We have to at least say that.
Yeah, no, at a minimum, right? Even for those who don't have the spiritual connection to the God-man, Jesus Christ, and they only acknowledge the extraordinary and just unexcelled and never again matched love that came from Jesus Christ. You know, at a minimum, we can say, boy, if our politicians, if our leaders, if the people leading our justice system had that same heart, maybe things would be a little bit different. Because Jesus was about accountability, too. He rebuked people. And at the same time said, now repent and go forth. You know, he said it to the woman at the well. He said it to other sinners. And I think that that often is lost on the Jesus story, too. And that's what makes me sad when you look at the absolute unrighteousness of our justice system all the way from New York City that ultimately leads to a 21 priors criminal murdering a young police officer, leaving a young widow and now their fatherless son, child. And when you think about that all the way up to the persecution of, no doubt, a sinner, Donald Trump, like the rest of us, a sinner, and the undue persecution. I mean, boy, we could use a little bit of some people sitting in the pews and taking in a little bit of the faith story, couldn't we, when it comes to their leadership decisions?
We could, Randy, and the contrast that you've been discussing all morning between what Donald Trump, a former president, was doing this week versus what the current president was doing, or maybe, I don't know that Joe Biden decides to do much of anything these days, Randy. I think his handlers pretty much push him there and guide him there, and he's kind of like salmon in a stream. But if he has any decision-making capacity left in his noggin, how horrific that he did not decide to pay homage to one of the fallen. I mean, talk about some symbolism here during the week where we commemorate Good Friday, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus that we were mentioning, the sacrifice of this officer, Randy. And the other thing the left gets oh so wrong about this time of year or any time of year or anything regarding at least the Christian faith, and I would argue the Jewish faith as well, is how they always conflate the role of government with religion. You know, Jesus did not say the government should do all these things. He said, render unto Caesar what is his, but you yourself, you need to do these things, right? Like the government shouldn't do them for you. And I'm not going to call Jesus a Republican or a Democrat, but he was all about freedom and liberty and the individual doing the right thing for their common man, right? Hoping that the collective comes along. But it's not supposed to be some other amorphous oppressive regime, whether it's a government or a dictator or whatever, doing these things. We as individuals are supposed to be helping our common man and woman. And Randy, that's why private charities and churches and other organizations always do a better job of taking care of our common man and women than the government could ever hope to. And back to that contrast, Randy, this really, all of these things should hit us, all of these horrible deaths, whether they're at the hands of mass shootings or whether they're police officers gunned down in cold blood, they should all affect us. But some, Randy, of course, affect us more than others. And, you know, I think many people know I spent nearly a decade in New York. I'm very familiar with this part of Long Island, Massapequa, not far from where I lived several times. I lived out on the island. I went to St. John's University School of Law and lived there in Jamaica, Queens, had a ton of friends all over that area. And so I have a connection in the sense that I know the kind of people that live there. They're good people. There a lot of times New Yorkers get bad raps, you know, but that area of Long Island, Randy, that's hardworking, blue collar, middle class folks. And I can imagine this officer's family, 31 years old, leaves behind a wife and a son that has no idea what's going on because I think he's barely 1 year old. He'll have to read about this someday and the heroism of his father. And we had one former president take time, the guy who's supposed to be the mean guy, right? The bombastic guy, the arrogant guy, the guy who doesn't care about anyone, who's the sexist and the misogynist and the rapist and the xenophobe and blah, blah, blah. That was how ironic that was the guy showing endless empathy on a day. Donald Trump said and did all the right things that day. If we had that Donald Trump every day between now and Election Day, Randy, it would be a landslide in this country for him. And then you had Joe Biden, whether intentionally or involuntarily, because he's, like I said, I think he's guided completely by his handlers these days. They're yucking it up at some high dollar elitist fundraiser with, you know, hard left progressive hateful comedians in the epitome of elitism, Manhattan. I mean, Randy, that's a scene from The Hunger Games, right? You got Joe Biden hanging out in Pan Am. And you have Donald Trump out there in District 12. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, the contrast was stark. And of course, on the left, what would you expect? No good deed, no benevolent act, no consolation coming from a politician on the right goes unpunished and labeled as purely political, purely, you know, the cynicism that just emanates and just billows out of the studios from MSNBC and CNN is just overwhelming. I mean, okay, let's even in a worst construct, let's say, all right, there's a certain element of optics there. Joe didn't even have the decency to, as I understand, call the family. The White House made a press statement, you know, one of the vanilla pablum statements that they make. And it's just amazing. Now, I don't know if it warmed your heart, but it sure got me going in a much better way when I saw this crew top shaven guy in a black suit, apparently an attendee at the wake, just given an earful to Governor Kathy Hochul, who apparently only spent 10 or 15 minutes there. And she skedaddled out of Dodge, didn't she? It was good to see, as it was good to see the Sergeant Benevolent Association call out Democrat politicians, said, don't even embarrass yourself by coming, you people who have endorsed, you know, a defund the police type policies. Don't even embarrass yourself by showing up to the funeral today. It's good to see vocal, overt, public pushback, isn't it?
Yeah, Randy, the deck chairs on the country's political Titanic, they're definitely being rearranged, aren't they? And to the point you just made, you know, folks who either themselves or come from families that just automatically voted for Democrats for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they're having a change of heart, aren't they? Our new political bedfellows in the Republican Party are once again, you know, they used to be there back in the, remember the Reagan Democrats? They're coming back home now. Blue collar, hardworking people, the men and women in blue, even some of the unions. Let's remember, Reagan had the support of some of the trade unions in his reelection, because people realize at some point okay, I'm not going to be governed by what some big union boss tells me. I'm going to be governed by what's good for myself, my family, my community, my state, and ultimately my country. And a lot of old fashioned Democrats, the Truman, JFK, even Bill Clinton Democrats are realizing, finally, it's taken them a long time, that party's gone. All they've got left is nostalgia. And so, you know, the Police Officers Association, which is a union, it excoriated the New York Democratic politicians who were daring to come to that funeral. They gave him to that wake. They gave him advance notice. They said, "Don't bother. We don't need your crocodile tears." And boy, isn't that relevant? Because Randy, you know, maybe you as the good doctor here can diagnose whether the hashtag liberalism is a mental disorder is finally really totally true and not just a catchphrase. Because Randy, the logic of these people, it fails all reason. They want to defund the police, but yet they want to pass more laws to go after law-abiding Americans. But if you're defunding the police, who's going to enforce those laws? And if you're electing Soros-funded prosecutors, who's going to prosecute those laws? So, Randy, nothing that they advocate for makes any logical or rational sense. It's all about spinning a narrative to their hard left base.
No, you're so right. And, you know, you talk about how it's ironic in a matter of, what, one or two election cycles, we have seen a total upheaval of sort of the alignment, the demographic alignment of the electorate with a political party. I mean, the Republicans through the 90s and the early 2000s were sort of the party of the rich. They were the party of the fat cats, the party of Wall Street, the party of corporate America, right? And now I read the other day that, I mean, look at the donors that went to this big posh event, you know, at Radio City Music Hall. And yet the donors, the small under $200 donors, you know, the $5, $10, $50, $100 donors are far outweighing on the Trump side, outweighing what's the same on the Biden side. And so you're seeing this total realignment. The Democrat Party is now the party of the elite, the party of the rich, the party of the crony capitalist. It's amazing. It's happened in what, 8 to 12 years, right?
It has. Yes, and not only the elites, Randy, but the arrogant elites, right? The folks that think they know best. And that's where the Democratic Party has gone wrong. You know, Randy, back in the day, Democrats were not the way they are now, in the sense that they believed in they always believed in bigger government, but they didn't necessarily believe, and many of them did not believe, there was a majority of them that didn't believe in an authoritarian government. They just wanted more money in government. They wanted more of your money so they could, they were the bleeding heart liberals, right? And you could almost have some empathy for them. Okay, well, that's really nice. I'm glad you want to do that. Just don't do it with my money, you know? So that wasn't, there was not a lot. There was no malice there, Randy. Today there is. Because as I said, that Democratic Party, the party that wanted to take more of our tax dollars and spread it amongst the masses, like the benevolent Robin Hoods that they wanted to be viewed as, those people are gone and they've been replaced by these authoritarians. They want to force you to do things. They want to take away things from you. They don't want you driving your gas-powered cars or even having your gas-powered leaf blower. They want to force those. They don't want to make any of these things choices. You know, eventually, Randy, I hope we have no fossil fuel use and we can go tell the Middle East to literally go pound sand, right? But until we get to day, we can't unilaterally disarm. So, yeah, Randy, it's a big difference between the big government liberals of old and the authoritarian big government leftists of today.
Talking with Tim Jones from the Jones and Arp Show every afternoon here on Newstalk STL. All right, so I have to ask you, Tim, you have one of the savviest political minds that we know. And you've been in and out of the, well, you've been in elected office, but stay very connected with politics and strategic discussions going on. And you understand how internal polling and, you know, how to interpret all this. I'm confused, Tim, and I know you're going to be probably unpacking this more on the show next week, but you see this new Fox News poll that shows widely disparate views in favor of Donald Trump when it comes to economy, border, public safety, you know, on and on and on. And yet, when you look at the national polling, even in the battleground states, the same gaps don't follow through. Now, granted, in the Fox News polls and others, in the healthcare matter, and especially on that big gorilla in the room, that's the abortion issue, Biden, you know, is winning there when it comes to the polling. But, you know, how do we reconcile what we seem to be wide differences on the top three issues in most voters' minds, right? Economy, public safety, and border, and foreign policies in there too, right? And Trump wins on all those, but yet when it comes to the actual who you're going to pull the lever for, not so good. What can you help me unpack that? I struggle with it. There's a tension there in my mind. I can't figure it out. You're savvier than I am at these political issues.
No, Randy, I have a very strong theory. I have a very strong opinion, and I think a very plausible theory on this. Randy, it's tough to fight the national narrative machine. It's tough to fight. Widespread propaganda. It's state-sponsored, state-coordinated, Pravda-level-esque. That's the old Soviet newspaper, Pravda. Pravda-level-esque, yeah. Propaganda. Randy, when it's unrelentless, when it is with extreme malice, when it is unrelenting, when it's 24/7, 365, Randy, that's the result you get. Now, look, does Donald Trump bring some personal issues to the table? Sure. I don't get affected by his personality. He makes, like Katie Fitzpatrick always says, he makes me laugh. You know, maybe I get the joke more than some Americans. Maybe those on the left, they just kind of completely lost their sense of humor. But so, Randy, when you have a media machine that is telling you for the last, what, 8-9 years that Donald Trump is the most evil, horrible person on the planet. And that's all you're told, and that's all you watch. So, Randy, we hear, you and I, we have trouble getting our minds wrapped around it because we speak to a lot of brilliant people throughout the week. We're not in an echo chamber here. But, Randy, one thing I do to make sure I know what's really going on, I watch a lot of the Sunday morning talk shows so our listeners don't have to. And if you just sit there and go through CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and just watch that Sunday morning lineup, Randy, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The hate, the vitriol, there's never any quarter given. Look, there's been a lot of scoundrels who have been at the highest seats of power in this country over the last 235 plus years. Donald Trump's nowhere near the worst of them. He has his issues, but ultimately, I think he wants to truly make America great again. I don't think it's just a cliche. I think he wants to preserve the country and the opportunities. What's he get from all this? He's nearly 80 years old. And yet he wants to leave this country to his kids and grandkids and all Americans better than he found it. And he's worried that that may not happen. So, Randy, I blame it on the media. I think that's why you have the disconnect. People know what the problem is. They see who's causing the problem, Joe Biden. They see who's exacerbating the issues and the challenge in this country, the Democrats and the hard left. And so they're like, oh, okay, so they're doing all the wrong things. Ooh, but wait a minute. Everybody says, everybody meaning the mass media, that Donald Trump's evil and wrong. So, ooh, I don't know. Is that the right decision? It should be easy, but because of the media, it's not.
Okay, I get it, and I think you nailed it. And of course, they play up those issues and diminish, and often don't even report when it comes to selection at the editorial level of the stories to report. I mean, it's not only what they hammer on, the abortion issue, you know, the health care. Oh, yeah, you got an insurance card, but you can't see your doctor. You know, forget about that. And then they just totally omit editorially the carnage that we see in New York City, the things going on, the Haitians streaming into Florida. You know, they you don't see a CNN reporter, an MSNBC reporter, an NBC or CBS reporter for that matter. So I think there's both errors of commission and omission. You nailed it so well. Hey, well, I know you got to get on to a big golf match.
Yeah, the non-reporting, Randy, is one of their biggest, I think, miscarriages of journalistic malpractice these days, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, well, may all your drives be long and all of your greens experiences be one and no more than two putts, okay? That'll be a good round, yeah?
That's the best blessing I could have ever gotten from you, my friend. Thank you so much.
And truly, I hope you and yours have a blessed Easter. And I really appreciate you emphasizing at the top of this interview exactly this. If there ever was a reason for the season, Christ's death, sacrifice, suffering in our behalf, and then resurrection to keep us saved and eternally optimistic and full of hope is what it's all about. Thanks, Tim Jones. Look forward to hearing you all week on the Jones and Arp Show. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Randy. Happy Easter to you and your wonderful family. And thanks for being here for everybody in News Talk STL Nation here on this gorgeous Easter Saturday.
All right. Have a good one. All right. There he is, Tim Jones. When we come back, we caught a clip that really nails it on the January 6th Trump witch hunt absurdity. We'll play that for you and point out just how crazy the left is in the persecution of this dude, Donald J. Trump. More coming up with Virginia Cruda at 7:45 and Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. More on the policing in New York City and, the absence of true justice there and in other places at 8:06. Stay with us on The Tobler Show.
I hope we have no fossil fuel use and we can go tell the Middle East to literally go pound sand, right? But until we get to day, we can't unilaterally disarm. So yeah, Randy, it's a big difference between the big government liberals of old and the authoritarian big government leftists of today.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL.
Hey, it looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9, Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
Welcome into the show, 314-912-1019. That's our number if you'd like to talk to Jerome, say hi. And thank you, because, boy, without Jerome, I'd be lost. I mean, he keeps it together here because, you know, my mind is just a stream of ideas floating down the river. And like logs in the river, I pluck one out here and there, and Jerome never knows where I'm going. Right, Jerome? We can get it out there. It's transparent.
Yeah, I keep your heart pressure medication. I keep some adrenaline for you. I keep a double dose of coffee for you. We got to keep you up in tip-top shape.
Yeah. Jerome makes sure that the blood pressure medicine is doubled on Saturday mornings because once in a while it gets a little out of control. We don't want to have me pop a gasket on the air. That's not a good thing. So Virginia's going to join us at 7:45. Betsy Brantner Smith from the NPOA, the National Police Officers Association, 8:06. You know, I don't know about you, but I am seeing a very pleasant tacking to the right. And I mean right in terms of correct as well as right politically. Of our friend Elon Musk. I mean, you know, before he bought Twitter and became a champion of free speech, I think he was probably more of a lefty. I mean, I don't know that he ever proclaimed that so much. Frankly, I never really followed him that much. I knew he had SpaceX and all that, but and Tesla. But I found a post here the other day that I thought was really wonderful. I just want to share it with you. He posts, modern Western civilization has extraordinary empathy compared to its power. This is also arguably its greatest weakness. He's talking about modern Western civilization and America in particular. With the nuclear bomb, America could have subjugated every nation on Earth with ease. Hitler and Stalin would certainly have done so. Instead, America helped rebuild Germany and Japan. Think of that. Think of that. All the liberals out there, you know, who think about America and how bad we are and how scarred we are and what a broken society we are and the Constitution was never right in the first place. Well, didn't America, that America that had the economic and the moral engines, to be able to win the war that could have ended us all ended up with us all being subjects to the likes of Hitler and Stalin, and rather turned it around and not only stopped the tyranny, stopped the carnage, the millions that were killed, but then rebuilt whole countries. Well, all of Europe for that matter, in one way or another. And he goes on, there is no historical precedent for a nation with so much power helping rather than destroying its defeated enemies. It's fascinating. I mean, here's a guy who, he's a deep thinker, and he's really taken that zoomed out historical view to try to celebrate America's greatness. Why is it that we've come to a point in this country where we can't say, look, the Constitution and its principles and the founding documents and the founding principles of all men, and at that day, there was a disparity between political power and the wielding thereof between men and women. That was the culture of that day. That doesn't mean that you judge people by the culture of this day when they were making grand and existentially important policy matter decisions under a different context. But they wanted to make all people equal and recognize the importance of that. And in fact, it was a threat to, in fact, the union that ultimately was founded when there were disagreements, because there was those that said, we're not going far enough. We need to address the slavery issue and do it now. It didn't happen soon enough. But why is it that there are large swaths of people? I mean, 30, what is it, 40, how many percent of the American public that agree with the college students and others that protest and say, we need to tear it all down, burn that Constitution up, and start all over again? And you know what they're looking for to replace that Constitution. They want a Marxist, communist, socialist society. And it is their utter lack of the witness of history that says that that never, ever, ever has, nor will it work out. Because that is, unfortunately, the result of the flesh and human side of our limbic systems and our being and our choices if left unchecked, which is, if you have something I want, I will find a way to take it from you. Most of these people are not people who are of faith, true spirituality, true Judeo-Christian heritage. I'm going to say it. They may claim to be that. I don't believe they truly are. As if they are, they would recognize that a true free and successful society, as John Adams and others said at the time of this founding, can only exist under a moral and righteous people. And people that will storm the streets and burn buildings and wear masks, are you listening, Antifa, and attack police officers and other citizens with whose policies they disagree, have no spiritual soul. They have no moral, religious, spiritual, or ethical guardrails. They live with their limbic systems. Left to our own desires and without the constitutional context under which it was passed, which is that moral and religious and righteous structure, which we celebrate probably more than any other time of the year, the Christian community, this season of humility through Lent, suffering shared on Good Friday, and then the hope that springs eternal, which is embodied in the resurrection tomorrow. Without that side of the equation, the Marxists, the communists, the I want what you have and the government will take it from you to give to me side of the aisle, that'll prevail for a short while. So anyway, I just think this is a critical time that we try to share these Judeo-Christian foundations and cornerstones that were necessary but not sufficient, because at that time, what became sufficient to that necessary construct was pairing it with a political structure that recognized that your freedoms, your rights, and yes, with them, your obligations, don't come from the government. The government's there to protect. The Constitution was there to protect you from the government taking your God-given rights. We're at a time where this is a critical election, because we're at a time when people are asked. Ketanji Brown, look at what she said in the arguments about the government colluding with Facebook to censor you and other social media platforms. She basically said, we've got to make sure that the government has its right to protect the people from their free speech. Hello? Really? We're at a critical time. This is the teeter is either going to totter or we're going to get it back on the right side. And we're going to take back our God-given rights and recognize our God-given obligations and ask of the government only what the government can do and needs to do, because we cannot do for ourselves. Sovereign borders, an equitable and active justice system that truly recognizes due process and truly recognizes an equal application of the law to all people. And yeah, some building roads and infrastructure, that's something the government needs to do. But other than that, it's going to be dependent on us, a free and virtuous, at least virtue-seeking people. I'm not virtuous, not as much as I'd like to be. Neither are you. You know it. That's why we go to church and we confess in our own way and we pray for forgiveness and mercy and a better way forward. I hope that you all do that and maybe invite someone to church for you tomorrow to celebrate in the wonderful goodness and hope that happens on that day. When we come back, Virginia Cruda, talk to her on this Easter Saturday on the Randy Tobler Show. Stay tuned for more.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the program. Hey, it's primary day. Well, it's municipal election day on April 2nd, and some school board elections as well. I know there's a big one coming up here in our area as well. So we make sure you get out and vote if you're in one of the school districts, Rockwood or others, or Francis Howe. Virginia Cruda joins us now. Virginia, happy Easter weekend to you. Hope you're having a blessed time preparing for the big day tomorrow.
Same to you. Actually, I'm driving. I'm in Georgia again. We were in Florida this week for spring break. So
you're on your way back. Okay.
On our way home. Yes.
Well, let's talk about Florida. Where you at? What were you hearing on the ground about a couple of bills that caught a lot of national attention? Ron DeSantis signing a bill saying no squatters. This is a no squatter zone. And on the other hand, no social media for those under 14, because after all, we don't allow kids to drink because it's dangerous for them. We don't allow them to go to the casinos or own a gun. Okay, let's start with squatting. What do you think about that, and what were you hearing on the ground in Florida?
Well, I didn't hear much because we were on the beach, so people weren't.
Oh, you were squatting on the beach. Did you declare the beach your own then? Is that it? Well, you know, you weren't there long enough, were you?
I was thinking about it, but yeah, no. I think that was a really good a good move on his part. As for the social media one, I'm a little hesitant to back stuff like that, because I think that should be the parents. You know, Ron DeSantis up to this point has been really big on like parental rights in education, parental rights in other issues. But parental rights in allowing your kids to use social media, not so much apparently. So that, like, I don't know. The libertarian in me says that's a bad idea.
Okay, well, let me challenge you there.
Protect you. What else can he step in and protect your kids from?
Okay, well, I agree with you. In a sense, I agree with you. But in terms of logical continuity, wouldn't that argue then that we should allow We shouldn't restrict the sales of alcohol or entrance into a casino or the ownership of guns by minors, because after all, the parents should be able to police that. I'm just being a devil's advocate here.
I would absolutely say on ownership of... The problem is that we have already taken steps down this road that suggests the government is a better parent than you are. And I don't think we should take more steps. I think we should take fewer steps. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not saying that we'd be able to undo any of that stuff.
Right.
Or even that we should necessarily undo any of that stuff. Yeah. What I'm saying is I think that the market will, it should even out. And I do think that parents should be in charge when it comes to, like, I mean, I'm not saying that I think that parents should let their kids drink, because I know some parents would, but is it the government's place to tell them they can't? It's a sticky area for a lot of conservatives, because you're like, well, I don't want kids to drink, obviously. Right. And I don't want kids to have drugs, or I don't want kids to go into casinos or what have you. But at the same time, is it the government's job to tell you they can't?
Right. No, I understand. But I guess I think just for the sake of healthy discussion and debate, it's always good to, at least as a thought experiment,
it's a good argument to have. Yeah, I just think that... again, the libertarian in me balks at giving the government... Mm. power over a decision that I think parents can handle.
I struggle with it myself. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I guess that since we have a precedent of the government asking certain businesses to assist in the management of these dangerous and addictive practices and habits and harmful. I heard Jonathan Haidt on Barry Weiss's Honestly thing the other day, and it was a fascinating discussion. Is basically saying, look, these kids are spending 40 to 50 hours a week, many of them, on social media, and it is rewiring their brains, and all they have to do is he clearly outlines the upslope in anxiety, depression, self-inflicted damage.
And I definitely think that here's where I think that we have a difficulty, because most parents who have teenagers are Generation X or really, really young millennials, or really older millennials, sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
These are kids who did not grow up with social media. Facebook wasn't a thing until I was 10 years out of high school, right?
Okay.
So social media really wasn't, I mean, there was MySpace before that, but that was different. You didn't have access to it on your phone. You didn't have, and so all of this stuff, we're trying to navigate our kids using stuff that we didn't have at that age. So we don't know, you're not seeing the impact until almost after it's too late sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the generation of kids who drank out of the garden hose and stayed outside until the streetlights came on. And they're dealing with kids who don't want to get off the couch because everything they need is on the phone in front of them.
Yep. Yeah. And it's a brave new world out there for parents. And we have a daughter who's got about a 6 and a 3-year-old and a 5 and a 3-year-old and now another. And I just, man, I'm glad I'm not trying to parent in this environment. Okay. And the other thing I wanted to talk.
I have a 16 and a 17-year-old right now.
Yeah. Oh boy. God love you. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Another area of, in the national news that, got my attention. I hope you can give me an assessment on this, where this is going to play out politically. RFK, who is an interesting candidate, clearly making some waves in the national election. He names Nicole Shanahan, the wife of the former wife of one of the founders of Google, as his running mate. What do you think? What impact is that combo, that team, going to have on the national election?
Well, I think it eliminates the possibility that he'll be taking votes from Trump for in a large in any kind of large capacity, because she is very liberal. This is a woman who helped fund the Los Angeles District Attorney Gascon, who has let he's never met a criminal he didn't want to let out of jail. So this is very, very soft on crime guy, and not a so I think the idea that ticket would take votes away from Trump is unlikely.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, good if you're a Republican, because you want somebody who's going to siphon votes off the Democrat, which obviously is Joe Biden right now. So that's good. I mean, had he named somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, who apparently is in the running now for Trump's running mate, if he had named somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, he would have siphoned more from the middle. But because he named somebody as far left as Shanahan, he's going to siphon from the left, most likely.
Yeah,
you're gonna get a few people probably from the right, but mostly from the left.
Yeah, I was glad to see that, actually, because I think heretofore, up until then, I was concerned it was going to be sort of a equal siphoning with a little little more from Biden, you know. But I think that tips the scales now, certainly electorally, in favor of Trump. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I wish you safe travels through Georgia and a safe landing back in Illinois. You'll be back to do the Easter egg hunt tomorrow morning, right? Everything will be good
at the Cruda household? We're trying. We should get home tonight.
Now, doesn't your family or your husband's family, don't you guys have, aren't you involved in a bakery? You're going to be up all night making, like, hot cross buns or something, aren't you?
I'm going to be up all night doing nothing, because I don't work at the bakery. But my and the bakery's closed Sunday anyway, so they are closed Sundays whether it's Easter or not. So they did all the work this week, and that's one of the reasons I took the kids on the trip, because it keeps us out of the house while Jim is trying to sleep and get work done and sleep and get work done, and that's pretty much all he does the week.
That's it.
Holiday.
Sleep and work, sleep and work, sleep and work. Yeah. Well, that would describe what we used to think was the formula for a great American dream. Now it's just universal basic income. Virginia Cruda, thank you very, very much for being with us. Always love it. Look forward to next week, and a joyful and blessed Easter to you and yours.
Same to you.
All right. That's a great hit there with Virginia. She has some deep and very, very, very thoughtful insights. Always enjoy talking with her. When we come back at 8:06, you'll be listening to Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. Watch out. You may have to keep your eye on the volume knob. She's going to get fired up over New York City cop and that fallen police officer. Stay tuned.